Stay tuned for more Jazz America with me, Russ Davis, right after the news on VOA 1.
I'm Joe Palca reporting. The FBI investigates California mass shootings as terrorism. The assistant chief of the FBI's Los Angeles office, David Bowditch, said Friday a number of pieces of evidence, included crushed cell phones found near the massacre, have turned up to make it a terrorist act.
We have retained those cell phones, and we do continue to exploit the data from those cell phones. We do hope that the digital fingerprints that were left by these two individuals will take us towards their motivation.
Now, in Washington, FBI Director James Comey said investigators are working to understand the electronic record of the two attackers.
There is much about this that doesn't make sense to even those of us who do this for a living. That is the reason we have hundreds of people running down leads all over the world on this and spending tremendous amounts of time as we sit here trying to understand the electronic record around these two killers.
Now, David Kesley is a an attorney for the family of Syed Rizwan Farooq. He criticized the FBI's characterization as premature, saying that he hasn't seen any solid evidence that either Farooq or his wife were connected to the terrorism.
And all there is thus far is some nebulous thing that somebody looked at something on Facebook. I mean, any one of us may have looked at something on Facebook. It doesn't mean we believe in it.
Farooq and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, killed 14 people and wounded 21 at a Christmas party that was held Wednesday by an agency helping the developmentally disabled in San Bernardino, California. The couple was killed in a gun battle with police about an hour later. This is VOA News. Islamic State militants may be trying to counter increased pressure from U.S.-backed ground forces and the ongoing coalition air campaign by forcing more children to join their ranks. U.S. officials became the latest to join the chorus of groups accusing Islamic State of child conscription, saying the terror group recently sunk to new lows. U.S. Central Command spokesman Colonel Pat Ryder said on Friday that evidence indicates the conscripts are as young as 10 years old and are used in various capacities, including to fight. Children have long been featured in Islamic State propaganda. Turkish troops have entered Iraq for what U.S. officials say appears to be training exercises with Iraqi forces fighting Islamic State. The troops crossed the border about 30 kilometers from the ISIS-held city of Mosul. A Turkish official told Reuters the troops were in the Mosul-Bashika region for routine training exercises. U.S. officials confirmed the move late Friday, saying one Turkish battalion had positioned itself on the Iraqi side of the border. Turkish media reported the deployment, which included tanks and other armored vehicles, was part of a regular turnover. The alleged corruption at football's world governing body, FIFA, plunged to new depths this week after U.S. authorities charged more than a dozen officials with embezzling money from the organization. Two FIFA vice presidents were arrested in Switzerland, even as the body's executive committee met to discuss key reforms. Henry Ridgewell reports for VOA.
This week was meant to mark a new chapter for FIFA. Instead, 16 FIFA officials were charged Thursday by U.S. authorities who alleged that huge sums were siphoned off, intended to help natural disaster relief and grassroots football programs, and lucrative media rights sold off for bribes. U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch said huge sums were involved.
The scale of corruption alleged herein is unconscionable. And the message from this announcement should be clear to every culpable individual who remains in the shadows, hoping to evade this ongoing investigation. You will not wait us out, and you will not escape our focus.
Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
11 current and former members of FIFA's executive committee have been charged in the U.S. investigation. The acting president of FIFA pledged full cooperation. As some 300 U.S. soldiers train Ukrainian soldiers at a compound in western Ukraine, the Pentagon is countering reports of old and dilapidated U.S. equipment given to Ukrainian fighters in the country's east. The Pentagon, which has committed more than $265 million in security assistance to Ukraine since the fighting began, says U.S. assistance and equipment has made an important impact on operational effectiveness. They say they're giving excellent equipment. Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Russ Davis here. Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, in conversation with two great jazz artists who are gone but not forgotten. This hour, we'll talk to Dave Brubeck and Grover Washington Jr. Dave Brubeck was born on the 6th of December and Grover Washington Jr. on December the 12th. So we'll celebrate their birthdays, remember them fondly, and I'll share with you some of the last conversation I had with both of those artists. We'll catch up with Mr. Brubeck at the Detroit Jazz Festival in the year 2009. That's coming up, followed by conversation backstage at the Blue Note Jazz Club in New York City with Grover Washington Jr. from 1999. So let's look forward to that. Two great artists gone but not forgotten. But right now, let's look forward and listen to some new music. I just get tons and tons of new releases almost every day, sometimes a dozen or more brand new releases in my mailbox every day. So it's very difficult to play all the new music that comes out. I want to play as much as I can for you in the short amount of time I have here on Jazz America, so let's get right to it. Here's some wonderful work from trombonist Steve Davis. He's joined by an all-star cast including Eddie Henderson, Eric Alexander, Harold Mayburn, and Joe Farnsworth. A great horn section and a great rhythm section, too, on the J.J. Johnson classic Shutterbug from Steve Davis's new release, Say When, to begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America. We'll be right back.
gonna call while you're on your own. You've built the bet you burn right within your home. You had somebody who loved you. What did you do? You had somebody who loved you. But you put them in your name.
You left somebody who loved you.
Now they're gonna do the same to you. Now they're gonna do the same to you. The same to you. The same to you. They're gonna do the same. The same to you. The same to you. The same to you. They're gonna do the same. What you gonna get while you're moving on to some other kind of thrill? The thrill is gone. Say you're gonna be fine while you're on your own. You left the one you love right there alone. You had somebody who loved you. What did you do? You had somebody who loved you. But you put them through mine. You left somebody who loved you. Now they're gonna do the same to you. They're gonna do the same to you. The same to you. The same to you. They're gonna do the same. The same to you. The same to you.
Soulful, bluesy presentation of the terrific vocalist and pianist Melody Gardot from her latest release, Currency of Man, the song Same to You, here on VOA's Jazz America. Let's return backstage now to the Detroit Jazz Festival of the year 2009 for the last conversation I ever had with the late, great Dave Brubeck, certainly gone but not forgotten.
We were doing a lot of experimenting, and Columbia Records would not put Time Out out. They said nobody can dance to it. And you have all originals on one album. We don't allow that. And you want a great painting on the cover. We don't do paintings on the covers. We do some photographs. And you're breaking all the unwritten laws. So we don't want it out. And the president of Columbia, Goddard Lieberson, said, "Dave, I love what you're doing. I'm going to try and take Blue Rondo and take Five to the West Coast, and I'll present it to all the people out there in the West Coast." When he came back, he said, "Dave, they hated it too. But," he said, "I'm not giving up. We're going to get this out." Now, what's strange, we're here in Detroit right now. A disc jockey here started playing it. And all of a sudden, his board was lighting up with, "What is this music? And can you play it again?" And then I played a dance right here in Detroit. And in a certain part of town where people could dance. And we played Take Five, and man, that floor was swinging in 5/4 time. And Columbia Records said nobody can dance to it. And I was thinking, boy, if they were only here tonight, seeing this whole audience swinging on Take Five, unchunka boom boom, and they had those moves down.
Well, millions of records sold later, and millions and millions of people that have enjoyed it over the years later too. Those guys were wrong, very wrong. I remember the Decca Records guys passed on the Beatles too. Some people with suits sometimes make mistakes, right? Well, Dave, listen, it's showtime, and I'm going to let you go. And you've been very kind to spend this much time with me, and the folks around the world are going to enjoy hearing your comments as well as your music and your philosophy. And thank you for your artistry over the years, and more to come. And hey, by the way, if you've got a Take Five that they won't put out, give it to me. I'll play it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, we heard a vocal version of Take Five sung by Al Jarreau earlier in the program. Let's give you another song from that breakthrough album Time Out that nobody could dance to. It's called Everybody's Jumpin'. The Dave Brubeck Quartet on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you. This is Al DiMeola, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
Al DiMeola, From his latest release, Elysium, in an electroacoustic frame of mind, meaning playing both electric and acoustic guitar on the song entitled Sierra. A little bit of a world jazz influence on that one as well. More coming up with another of the artists that we're remembering on this edition of the program who are gone but not forgotten, Grover Washington Jr. But first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And I not only receive email messages from Jazz America listeners, but from time to time, people track me down on Facebook as well. And I have a Facebook page under the name Russ Davis. And Abu Baker Rashid has been communicating with me via Facebook and wrote me a simple message. Russ of Jazz America, greetings from your jazzy friend in Sierra Leone, Abu Baker Rashid. Well, thank you so much for being in touch, however you choose, email, Facebook, whatever the case may be. Here's some music for you, Abu Baker Rashid. It's got a New Orleans flavor to it, and it is from the new release from the great drummer Jeff Tane Watts. It's called Blue Volume 1. He's got a host of fantastic players joining with him on this one. And the song, as I said, New Orleans flavored, is titled Farley Strange. To begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America.
What you know about gumbo? Yeah.
A lady from Sao Paulo, Brazil, who came to New York City, could not speak a bit of English, made her way into the musical world, became a member of Steps Ahead, and then a great solo artist in her own right, Ileana Elias, with her version of the Bob Marley classic, Jammin', from her album Around the City. here on VOA's Jazz America. And our special guest now, another of the gentlemen gone but not forgotten, Grover Washington Jr., has also recorded a great version of that Bob Marley classic Jammin', and he also has quite a story to tell about how he recorded his very first album, filled with songs made famous by Marvin Gaye, the album Inner City Blues. It was his debut release, but it was not supposed to be his recording. Let's get the story from Grover Washington Jr., then hear music from that album here on Jazz America. When your first solo work comes out, that's got to be a very pressure-packed moment to a certain extent.
Yes.
So I want you to cover some of the thoughts you had about that.
When I first started recording as a sideman, I was working at Rudy Van Gelder's studio, which is the master's
place. Cranking them out.
Yeah. With Creed Taylor, and I was also working with Bob Porter for the Prestige label then, and now it's Fantasy. I just kept doing all kinds of dates and stuff, and all of a sudden there was this record company called CTI, Kudu, you know, which was like a perfect vehicle for me, because they seemed like to bridge the gap between hard bop and rock and contemporary. They had all of that, even the classical kind of feel that they had, you know, and like it was a perfect learning environment for me, because I had a chance like to do like a lot of different kinds of sessions. Sometimes I would be just a horn, like in a horn section. Sometimes I would be part of the front line with just me and say like a Virgil Jones or a Randy Brecker or somebody like that, or Freddie Hubbard, and like it gave me like a lot of experience, like in knowing how to set moods and how to not play sometimes. Sometimes space is just as important as the notes that you would play there. And working as a sideman, like with CTI, and then all of a sudden we are working on this Hank Crawford album, and we are playing all of the tracks down because Hank is in there and everybody's there. Bob James is the arranger. First time I'm meeting Bob James, first time I'm meeting Ralph McDonald, you know, Ron Carter, you know. I said, oh my God, I'm here with all of these guys I've been reading about like for years and years. At the end of that day of doing all of these tracks, we find out that Hank Crawford will not be able like to do all of the solo tracks on this album, which is Inner City Blues. So they said, Grover, have you played much alto? I said, well, outside of the Army band, no, but if you rent me one, I'll come back up here tomorrow and we'll see what we can do with it. You know, because they had like a lot of stuff on it, like Mercy Me, Inner City Blues, and things like that, the things that were out like on the contemporary side. And I came up the next day, and they had a rented alto there for me, and I played around with it for about a half hour. I said, okay, let's roll. And we finished the whole album by the end of that day, and they said, this is your album.
Well, Grover Washington Jr. was in the right place at the right time with the right talent. Here is the title cut from his debut effort, Inner City Blues, on Jazz America from VOA 1. Swing, recorded live in 1939. A certain Mr. William James Count Basie from Red Bank, New Jersey, here on Jazz America. And another gentleman from New Jersey, from Hoboken to be specific. He would have been 100 years old on the 12th of December. He is Frank Sinatra, and he'll be in the spotlight on the next edition of Jazz America. Old Blue Eyes himself turning 100. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Joining me to give us some thoughts about Frank Sinatra and his impact on the musical world, VOA music director and musician himself, Eric Felton, and the great vocalist, John Pizzarelli. Russ Davis here. Join me then, won't you?